Today's title is Believing God While in a Hard Place. Believing God While in a Hard Place. Father, we praise you and we thank you. We honor you for who you are. We pray thy blessings upon our fellowship in your word together. Your word will not return void, that your word will do exactly what you sent it out to do. Bless us. Bless us in this communion with thee. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Bible commentary informs us that Psalms 61, 62, and 63 were probably written when King David was seeking refuge during his own son Absalom's rebellion against him and his kingship. That's found in 2 Samuel chapters 15 through 18. Absalom was David's third son from his wife Maacah, daughter of Talmai, king of Geshur. He actually was, you know, an heir to the throne, but couldn't wait. It tells me that Absalom was one of them fine brothers with this nice hair. But it was his hair that caused him his death. Got caught up in the tree. But he was trying to overthrow his father. And, you know, he did this with his charm. Because they said all the ladies of Israel just loved them some Absalom. And Absalom said, well, since they love me, let me use them. So he began to set up stuff and began to, you know, to usurp his father's authority and try to set a rebellion. Even went and got some of the king's closest people to try to come over to his side. So this psalm was written as David actually had to escape from his own son and was in the wilderness, and while in the wilderness wrote this psalm. So God says, you still got to believe me when you're in a hard place. Some of us are in some hard places, but we still got to believe God. Oh, think about it now. But every time you're in a hard place, I'm going to mess you up right now. It's not because the devil did it. Oh, amen, amen, amen. Sometimes God's trying to teach you and I something. Turn to Matthew chapter 3, verse 17. Every time you're in a hard place, it's not the devil. Sometimes God will put you and I in a hard place because he's trying to get us to see something. He's trying to get us to know something. He's trying to teach us something about himself. Look at Matthew 3:17. You ain't done nothing wrong. 3:13, I'm sorry. You haven't done anything wrong. God got you there. Lord have mercy. He didn't say you're going to feel good. He didn't say you're going to love it.
Wow.
We might cry. As a matter of fact, in my message, I said, you're in a hard place and God is sustaining, but since he's not explaining, you start complaining. God is the one that keeps you in the hard place. Look at Matthew 3:13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee. And comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved son, and who I am well pleased. Now turn over to Matthew chapter 4. What does verse 1 say? Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. The devil didn't lead him in the wilderness. That's a capital S. The Holy Spirit of God led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And if you read Mark chapter 1, it said he was out there in the wilderness with the beast and the angels, with the wild beast and the angels ministered unto him. Sometimes you're in a hard place, the Spirit of God directed you there. Jesus was about ready to get his public ministry, and what did God do? He got baptized. The Spirit of God was on him like a dove. God's voice was heard. Jesus was there. So you got the Trinity right there. You got the Father. You got the Son. You got the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost got the nerve to take Jesus and drive him into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Every time you find yourself in a hard place, it's not because of the devil. Sometimes God has you there for a reason and for a purpose. And if God sent you, God can keep you. Hard place. David's in a hard place. He's in the wilderness. This man is a king. He had to leave his palace because somebody's after him and his own son. See, you could be in a hard place feeling bad for yourself. Oh, my own son is after me. I ain't do nothing to him. All I did was bless him his whole life. I raised him up. And I don't know what went wrong. Some of his friends have got all up in his ear, all up in his mind. David had to get up out of here because Absalom was serious. But he's in a hard place. But I said, God, how about that? God said, let me tell you something. When you were king, you're a king no matter if you're in the wilderness or not. See, I need somebody to know today. Because you're not on the throne, it doesn't mean you're not a king. You're just a king in the wilderness. Oh, whatever God called you to do, if you need a platform to do it, then God ain't called you to it. See, every ministry is not done on a platform. I remember my ordination. They said, look here, son. If we don't license or ordain you, would you still preach? I said, yeah. Amen. I'll tell the story. But see, you got to know that thing. If you need a pulpit, then you're not a preacher. If you can't preach outside of the pulpit, you're not a preacher. If you can only sing in church, you're not a singer. If you only do the deaconess thing in the middle in the church, you ain't no deaconess. Come on, somebody. See, my mother's born over there. They mothers outside of the church. And I'm not talking about natural mother. They can give you some advice to walk with you, pray with you. Come on. When you need all this stuff, then you're not who you called to be. But sometimes it's God that puts you in a hard place. And when God puts us in a hard place, he wants us to learn something. And the only way Jesus got out of the hard place, he used the word of God against the devil. He said, thou shalt not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So you got to hold on. He took Jesus up. When you read Matthew 4, he showed him everything. He showed him all the fine stuff. Look here, bow down and worship me, I'll give you to God. And you got to tell the devil, look here, what God promised me is better than what you're proposing to me. Because you don't own nothing, no way. As a matter of fact, the way I understand it, if me and my wife hadn't messed up in the Garden of Eden, you wouldn't even be here now. I let go of my dominion. Oh, my God. You and I ought to be about getting our dominion back. We some powerful folk walking around like wimps. No, we got some power in a hard place. David was seeking refuge during his own son Absalom's rebellion against him. His third son. Even though it's from a polygamous marriage, you know, that don't take away the pain. That's your son. Your daughter come after you. Trying to dethrone you. That thing was so serious. If he wanted to kill his son, he would have stayed there. Because they could. But he got word that Absalom was getting ready to try to, oh, he said, let me get out of here. Sometimes you got to get out of there. Oh, my God. You don't leave God. You just get out of there. Oh, Lord, have mercy, Jesus. It is in Psalm 63 that David wrote about his experience while in the wilderness of Judea, trying to escape his own son's attempt to dethrone him. But you got to believe God while you're in a hard place. Because some of us get in a hard place and we want to leave the church. We want to leave God. We don't want to read our Bible. We want to do the other stuff we used to do. We want to go back to the old stuff that God delivered us from just because we're in a hard place.
But you got to believe God while you're there, because God's the one that's going to sustain us. In Psalm 63, but not only in Psalm 63, David finds himself having to believe God in a hard place. What is a hard place? It's a place that God has you and you don't understand why. Anybody been there? Or am I talking to myself today? A hard place is a place where God is sustaining, as I said before, but not explaining, and we start complaining. Anybody ever complain about the hard place they're in, and when you stop complaining, you're still in a hard place? Don't waste your complaint. Don't waste your breath. Amen. You done cried your eyes out. Got some Visine. Got some Visine in your eye. And your eyes clear up, you're still in a messed up place. But you got to remember, God will never leave you nor forsake. He's not going to leave you there in a hard place all by yourself. God is with you whether you see him or not. For we walk by faith and not by sight. The hard place is a place where you had to go to survive, but it's all unfamiliar and uncomfortable territory. David's in the wilderness of Judea. When you in your palace, when you home, you got all your stuff. But when you got to run to someplace else that's different than home, it becomes unfamiliar. That's a hard place. Trying to live like you live, but you're not at home. You don't have none of your stuff. You're just out there in the wilderness. You and God. Some of us need a wilderness experience. For some of it, it's been us, God, and somebody else. And God said, I'm going to take that somebody else out the way. Amen. I'm going to take that other thing, that other person out of the way. It's just going to be you and me. Sometimes you need a one-on-one with God. Amen. Come on, parents. You know how you do your children. Send your friends home. Me, you need to talk. We need a one-on-one. Amen. I don't need no distractions. Oh, my God, don't need to. We've been too distracted sometimes. We get all wrapped up in stuff and all wrapped up in ministries and think this ain't going to run without me. This ain't going to be that. God said, come here. Come here. I called you to this. How you going to be greater than me? How because you don't show up, the church going to stop? Come on. You good at what you do. I blessed you. I put it in you. I know all about that. But you're not all that. I'm all that. And because I'm all that, I gave you some of my all that. You don't have all that. I have all that. I'm the only one that got all that. But because I love you and you said you would serve me, I gave you some of my all that. But you don't have all that. Come on. Folk hurt me when they think they got all that. I don't mind you having confidence. I don't mind you being good. But don't make me sick with your stuff. Come on. A little humility ain't never hurt nobody. Confidence is cool when it's under control. A hard place is a place where you have to go to survive. A hard place is a place where your mind begins to ask yourself and God the question, why me? Why my son? Why my daughter? Why my marriage? Why my family? I'm in a hard place. I'm trying to believe God. I'm trying to worship him, but I'm in a hard place. God said, get your attention off of all you're going through and put your attention on me, because I'm the one that's going to take you through the hard place. I designed the hard place. I know where the peaks and the valleys. I know where the pitfalls. You know there's no place that you and I can go that we can get away from God? Okay. Reverend Kevin, don't believe me. Psalm 139. He's looking at me like I'm crazy. Psalm 139. I had to use you for my segue there, my brother. Amen. Look at Psalm 139. Turn to Psalm 139 with me. That's a hard place. It's a place where you don't feel the power of God, the presence of God, the purpose of God, and the preeminence of God in your life. And even though you don't feel it, you got to know he's still there, because it's built on relationship. When you got a relationship with somebody, they don't always have to be there. I don't have to be in my wife's presence for her to know I love her. God doesn't have to show up in a mighty way every Sunday for me to know that he's worthy of all the praise, that I can love him. Some folks will be waiting around. Oh, I'm looking for an awesome service. Jesus, help me. Psalm 139. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid thy hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither? Come on, somebody. God knows everywhere where we are. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from my presence? Why did I read that? Because if you're in a hard place, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Whither shall... God still got you on his radar. See, man might lose you. If you don't show up where they think you ought to show up, you know, you asked and they forgot about you. But God got you on his radar. See, we need to understand. You know how they put that, what that thing they call that low jack they put on your car? In case they steal your car, the low jack emits a signal. Well, the Holy Ghost is like that. See, you belong to God. The Holy Ghost gives God a signal. Beep, 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 beep. I'm in a hard place. Beep, beep, beep. God, I see you. I got you. Beep, beep, beep. I got you. Yeah. Look at verse 8. If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. Anybody feel like they go through some hell right now? If you're in a hard place, yeah, it's hard as hell. God still got you. He's still coming. Oh. I'm out with complainers. If you know God, don't come in here with no 50, a list of 50 complaints. Because after you finish your complaint, draw the line and say, but God. But God. You might have 50 petitions, but God. He said, no matter where I am. He said, look at verse 9. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me and thy right hand shall hold me. No matter where we are. That's why you got to be full of the Holy Spirit. That's why you can't play with God. Because God, that Holy Spirit lets God know where you are. Oh, that's so awesome. But you're in a hard place. But it may not be because you did anything wrong. You may not have done anything wrong. God may be just trying to get you to see something. A hard place will test where you really are spiritually than where you think you are. Everybody walk around, yeah, I've been in ministry 40 years. I don't care what the devil throw my way. Then the next Sunday you see him. Hey, 40. What's up today? Where your joy, man? Now I got hit hard, man. That's why we got to stay in touch with God. It's like taking your car to get some gas. We have to stay filled up with God. We got to go to that word. You got to go in prayer. We got to have fellowship with him. I'm saying, if you do the Sunday to Sunday thing, within Sunday to Sunday, there's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. You got some days in between Sunday to Sunday that you still need God. We need God more than just on Sunday. We need God every day. And you know, set your house up with your choir, but do what you need to do. If you need to hear a sermon, preach to yourself. Like Kobe said, get you the hymnal, get a copy of the hymnal, song, and get your Bible and go ahead and have you a service. Folks think you crazy. You know what? If you don't get in touch with God, you will be crazy. Oh, come on. God is so real. People say, she's talking to herself. He says, no, I ain't. He talks, no, I'm not. You might not see him, but my buddy, my friend, I got a friend. I can walk down to the city. Hey, what's up, boy? Hey, time to Jesus. Thought the pastor that left it, he gone. Pastor goes, no, I'm talking to Jesus. He's right there with me all the time. Oh, Lord. Yeah, my buddy, my walking buddy, my running buddy. If I had to run, he got to run with me because I don't run as fast as I used to. As a matter of fact, I don't like running no more. And I don't want to go back to stop them. Okay, the Lord is good. Amen. A hard place is where you can't see why you're there. Where you don't fully understand what God is doing. You don't know how long you're going to be there. It appears that right now God is not even saying too much to you. But I read somewhere that he sometimes speaks in a still basketball voice. Somebody was preaching one time. They said, God does better work when he's quiet. Somebody said, go to Genesis. He ain't making no whole lot of, he's just speaking stuff. Come here, cloud. Come here, moon. Come here, sun. Man. See, God ain't had no great big service to introduce the herds. As a matter of fact, it was just the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. He had nothing and made something. So all these people talking about, well, I don't believe in all that, creation stuff. I believe in evolution. And every time they went to make something, God said, well, go find your own dirt. Go make your own dirt. Go make, no, I made dirt. No, you go make your own dirt. If you all that, you all that, right? Go make your own dirt. Then make something. Then come back and talk to me about it. But I need to let somebody know today that if you're in a hard place, don't give up on God. Don't get frustrated. Don't get so bent out of shape. Because we look at people so much. And sometimes you can go to a wonderful church service and you could be blessed and get home. You see the same folk acting the same way. Don't let that mess you up. It'd just be a minute. It'd just be a minute. See, you got the word. And you took the word in your house. Lord, have mercy. When God begins to stir that word up in you, things are going to begin to change. If they don't change in your family, they're going to change in you. You're going to see them in a whole different light. Because so many times we love our family and we want them to get this thing because we know they can be blessed if they just get it right. And there's nothing wrong with that, but we get over anxious sometimes. And in our over anxious moments, we begin to mess up what God is doing. It's like Kobach said in the mess, God, if you take your hands off, I'm working on them now. I'm working. But God, I don't see that. He said, because I'm working underneath. I'm working in their soul. I'm working in their spirit. I'm working where you can't see right now. God said the same what I did with you. I was working with you a long time before folk were able to see it on your face and in your countenance and in your walk. Hear it in, and see it in your walk and hear it in your talk. I've been working with you a long time. It's amazing. We think that God can do a quick thing for somebody else. And when we go back over our own lives. But if you were truthful today, it's not the first time you've been in a hard place. It's harder now because I found out like once you learn more about God, you think you don't need to be in a hard place. God, you're too good for me in a hard place. I just praised you about 40 minutes last Sunday. They picked me up off the floor. They wiped my mouth, you're too good. That's that one-sided teaching Bible study where everything you ask God for, you don't have to go through nothing and all. No, when you're on the journey, you got to go through some stuff. Just like when we were out in the world, we went through some stuff. But when you're on the journey, you go through some stuff, but you never walk alone. That's the difference. Out in the world, you can be lost out there, left out there. Folk will walk on you, walk over you. But when you're with God, it's a totally different kind of walk. It's a totally different kind of experience when we're with God. But see, what we do is we go through and pick out all the kind of fruit we like. We got a big fruit bowl. I don't like cantaloupe. I don't like watermelon. You picked out all the strawberries, all the cherries, all the grapes, and you think that's what you're going to do with the Word of God. God said, no, you got to eat it all, baby. Whatever meal I plan for you, I want you to eat the whole thing. I know you don't like spinach. I know you don't like asparagus, but guess what? Once you get it in and digest it, it's going to be nutritious for all my. Try to get kids to eat the vegetables, you say, but they're good for you. I don't care. I don't like no peas. God is trying to tell somebody today, what I'm ready to do in your life is good for you. I don't like it, God. And God said, okay. We'll order you some more Similac, you little baby. You want to go back to formula, don't you? Want a little food in it? A hard place will challenge your faith. It challenges our relationship with God. But God will keep us in the midst of it all. You have to believe God. No matter what we're going through, we must believe God. And I'll add to that, when we believe God, act like you believe God. Don't believe God at home and call in on the phone, I can't come out today, I'm doing bad.
Belief in God means no matter what's going on in my life, I'm going to still do what I used to do. Amen. I'm going to come worship you. I'm going to come praise you. I'm going to come teach my Bible study. I'm going to be in Bible study. I'm going to be in Sunday school. I'm going to pay my tithe. I'm going to pay my offering. I'm going to sing your praise. Come on, sir. You're not denying what's going on. You're simply saying, God got it. I'm in a hard place, but I'm believing God. I've been in a hard place before. But because he said he'll never leave me, he'll never forsake me, I'm going with God. On. Who else you going to go with? Who else? Who you going to call? What are some of your favorite heroes, these people in the movies? You know, who you going to call? Ghostbusters, Superman. Who you going to call? The Hulk. He ain't nothing but a piece of blown up green stuff. Who is Superman? Give him some kryptonite. Good night. Come on. I want somebody who will be strong no matter what the weather is, no matter what I'm going through, no matter what my sickness is, no matter what my... I want somebody that won't melt like I melt. I want somebody who has the ability to look at the universe and say, look here, stop messing with my child. Hurry. I don't want somebody I got to call up and I got to get in the phone booth. I don't want somebody I got to call and I got to tell them my story and then they got to get mad for me first before they get... I want somebody who's just cool. I heard you. I got your prayer. I'm sending angels. There's something in the atmosphere trying to block. I'm getting ready to send some of my warring angels to deal with that. Because I heard your prayer when you prayed it. And I know you're tired of waiting, but I'm going to send it to you. As a matter of fact, if you just praise me for keeping you while you're waiting. That's tough, that's the part we forget sometimes. God, I'm in a hard place. And God said, well, who's keeping you while you're in a hard place? Hallelujah. I'm in a hard place, but who woke you up this morning? I'm in a hard place, but who allowed you to go work your job and still do a great... You're going through something, but God alerted your mind so you could do your job so you wouldn't get fired. Tell me who keeps you in a hard place. You're in a hard place, and your children don't even know you're in a hard place. You still doing what you do. You still doing homework. You still washing clothes. You still cooking dinner. That's the keeping power of God. It didn't change the hard place, but within the hard place, I got this blessing of God that's keeping me where I'm in. I'm in a hard place. I ain't got no money to pay my bills. Well, how come you still in the house? You call me for prayer, I hear water running. You call me for prayer, oh, what's that you chewing on? What you smacking your lips? You got food. God is trying to let us know, even though you're in a hard place, I'm still with you. God, how do I know that you're with me? Because I'm blessing your going out and I'm blessing your coming in. I'm keeping you day and night. Don't be afraid of a hard place. And don't listen to the commentary of the folk, because the folk talking about you, guess what? They ain't like you nowhere. They glad you're going through something. If you notice, every time you're doing all right, they ain't got nothing good to say about you. Time you started in a hard place, uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. They try to invite me to that church they go to. Serving that God. I'm doing better than them. No, you're not. You on your way to eternal damnation. I'm on my way to the celebration. It may not look like it right now, but please be patient with me. God. I don't have to prove anything to anybody else. I got to know what I know that I know that I know, and I can move on with it. If you're not going to join me in prayer in my hard place, if you ain't never been to a hard place, you need to get somewhere and sit down. Because you don't know what you're talking about. You ain't been through nothing yet. Hallelujah. That's why, folks, when you walk around, you can tell folks the truth when you testify. Yeah, I'm a Christian. And sometimes it's tight. But he'll never leave you, nor forsake you. Sometimes I got to cry.
but sometimes I laugh. Sometimes I'm broke, but sometimes I'm living large. Come on. Sometimes it's hot dogs. Sometimes it's filet mignon, baby. Oh, come on. But we don't want to tell the whole story. We only want to shout and get mad and give a testimony when we're doing bad. But God said, how about the good time? Give a balance to yourself. Give a balance to your testimony. You ain't always been messed up. If you ain't had nothing, how they steal something? If you ain't got nothing, why the enemy after you? Sometimes the enemy knows that something you have is more precious than you know. And it's not the material thing. It's what God put in you. God put a gift in you, and the enemy's trying to mess you up. How can the enemy know something God gave you is more precious than you know? Because at one time, before he got kicked out, he was up in glory. And because he got kicked out, don't mean his brain's left. I'm so sick and tired of folks. I said, where you worship? I ain't find no church yet. Ain't no church good enough for me. Well, hallelujah. You better get somewhere and get in worship somewhere. Right. I'm seeking. Seeking what? We're all striving towards perfection. That's why you got a lot of Holy Spirit to speak to you. Holy Spirit would speak to you and say, hey, you need to do something while you're right here. You need to get up and join. You need to get up and accept me. You need to rededicate your life to me. Stop worrying about how big the church is and how many choirs it has. Because you don't need to worry about all that. Because you're not even singing yet. You're just getting in there. We worry about all that stuff. I want to, let me, before I join, see what kind of car the pastor drives. Why, you need a ride home? We got all kind of crazy stuff. But we walk in anybody's store, don't care who made the outfit or whatever, don't care if the person got paid $1 an hour in Mexico to make it, we don't care. But when we come to church, we got all this criteria. For other stuff, we don't care. All we want to do is get a bargain. That's how we think. So I see our minds need to be renewed. The devil done messed us up. We come to church looking all around. I don't like them people. People, these, you know, they pastor crazy. Look at them. He's crazy. Look at him. Pray for his wife. She's sitting over there just so. I don't know how she's staring at him. He's crazy. After the benediction, I'm up out of here. The devil said, yeah, that's what I want you to do. I made sure that when you sat down, I would take your eyes and put your eyes on the wrong stuff. Oh, yeah, you was all excited about the music. Yeah, you were jamming. Woo! But when it came time for the word, the devil said, sleep falleth upon thy eyes. Thy brain go in sleep mode. Take it not in the word, so I might keep it thee in my shackles. That's what the enemy will do to you. Will mess you up. When it's time for you to get the most important nourishment, we've got so many appetizers that we don't have no room for the entree. Some folks say, well, let me take it home. Put it on the CD. Put it on the DVD. But you were right here. And you were in a hard place. And you're going to leave here not knowing that God is with you in a hard place? You so down and out. You so depressed. You so sad. You so messed up. You so mad at God. You're going to sit in God's service with your arms folded and say, I'm going to leave exactly the way I came. And I love being in a hard place because now everybody that calls me, I'm going to tell them in a hard place. I'm getting on Facebook and just say, hard place, hard place. I'm going to text, hard place, hard place. I'm going to tweet, hard place, hard place. I'm in a hard place. Everybody knows I'm in a hard place. Make a show, make a movie. Call Hard Place. But what did David do in Psalm 63? When David found himself in a hard place, what did David? Number one, he reminded himself of who his God was. Look at Psalm 63. Look at verses 1 through 5. He's out there in the wilderness. He says, wait a minute. I know I'm in a hard place, but I still love God. He said in verse 1, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Not only was he talking about physical water, he was talking about spiritual water. He said, before I got in this mess, before I got in this hard place, I was used to fellowship with you anytime I wanted. I would be able to go into the sanctuary. I'd be able to go in the temple and just call your holy and righteous name. But now somebody's after me, God, so I got to try to make sure that I'm safe. But I miss you, God. I know you're with me, but I miss you in a different kind of way. You talk to some folks that's sick in the hospital, they say, I miss church. Sometimes you don't miss your water till you're well. We take people and stuff for granted. Folk do stuff for you, and then when they can't do it, that's when we appreciate them. Somebody asked me, they said, how come after somebody died, everybody's all good about it? I said, that's where the saying came from, give them flowers, you know, while they live. But it's because that forces us to think about the goodness of that person in our life. When God puts us in a hard place, there ain't nobody else around but you and God. So David said, guess what, God, I remember. Look at verse 2. He said, I want to see thy power and thy glory. So as I have seen thee in the sanctuary, he said, I've been to church, but I can't go to church right now because I'm in hiding. They're trying to kill me. But I remember. That's where you got to store up some time. Anybody ever have a car that had a reserve tank or a truck? They had two tanks on it, so one tank went out, the other tank would kick in. See, that's what you need to reserve. When you come to church, get all you can. Don't let nobody mess with you. If they want to mess with you and play with you and talk, say, look, please move to the other pew or go downstairs. Go outside, please. I'm trying to get my reserve tank filled up because something's going on in my life. I'm in a hard place. I don't know how long I'm going to be here, but I need me some more fuel. I need some more stuff to run on. I need something to make me be able to stand. I want to be like Mount Zion. I don't want to be moved. David had enough experience with God. It's all about our relationship with him. Look at verse 3. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Say, God, you've been so good. Your love for me is better than my own life. I'm still, my lips. I'm in a hard place, but I'm still, I bless your name, God. Anybody who's been going through, got some bad news from the doctor, and initially hit you in your flesh. But then by the time you let the doctors off, you begin to think about how good God had been. And it began to hit your spirit. You say, okay, Lord, I know what they said. But I know what you said. You said you could heal me. And the only reason you let them see what they saw because you wanted to let me know I'm going to heal you from something they saw. They actually saw it there. They saw it there. For the next time you went, they didn't see it. It's okay to be human. We're human yet divine. We're human yet spiritual. Look at verse 4. Thus will I bless thee while I live, no matter what I'm going through. I will lift up my hands in thy name. They said that's what they did in the Old Testament. They lift up the hands that gave God the glory. That's an attitude of praise that God, just have your way in my life. I surrender all. Look at verse 5. My soul shall be satisfied with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyfulness. Here he is in a hard place, and he says, my soul will be satisfied like I'm at a banquet. He's talking about banquet meat and banquet stuff. That's how my soul going to be satisfied. Because I remember how great you've been in my life. So David simply reminded himself of who God was in his life. And number two, he remembered how God had blessed his life. Look at verse 6. When I remember thee upon my, when I go to bed at night and meditate on thee in the night watches, because he had to watch out for himself even though he was hiding. He would know, this might be the night they're going to come get me. This might be it. He said, no, when I remember thee, when I remember what you've done for me, how you protected me, how you kept me, and when I meditate on thee in the night watch, he said, when I'm awake, I ain't going to waste my time being awake thinking about, oh, I wonder if Absalom is going to get me tonight. And I said, I'm going to praise you. I'm going to talk with you, God, because you're my keeping power. I'm going to bless your name. I'm going to remember how good you've been to me. I remember the stuff you already done because each victory helps me some other victory to win. Look at verse 7. Because thou hast been my what? My help. Therefore, in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. Why the shadow of God's wings? Because maybe I can't see him right now. I can't see him in the fullness that I want to see him. Maybe I can see a shadow. But a shadow of my God is better than no God at all. Or maybe because I see the shadow of his wings, he's on his way to get me. Oh, Lord, have mercy. I'm going to rejoice. First, he's praying. Now, he's rejoicing. Now, he done kicked it off. Now, I said, I was reading this song. I said, Dave, be quiet, man. Anybody hear you?
But sometimes you can't stop folks from praising God the way they want to praise Him, because you don't know what they've been through. Even though I don't look like what I've been through, I still remember what I've been through. And because I remember what I've been through, I'm going to praise Him like I've been through something, because I have been through something. But He took me through something. See, just last Sunday I was in a hard place, but this Sunday He released me. So I'm sorry if I messed up your service. I know the song was off. I'm sorry if I kept on singing it. I'm sorry if I shouted too long for you, because you're still in your hard place, and you're mad with me, and you're hating on me, because I got delivered. But your deliverance is not, because God is in the family. If He's here in the church, then...
Look at verse 8. Verse 8. You see what he said in verse 8? My soul does what? Follow what? Hard with me. I'm following close behind you. And your right arm going to protect me. You know that right arm of God in Scripture? The right arm, that's where the strength is in Scripture. He said, look here. I'm hard. Say, matter of fact, can't nobody get in here. God, I'm following you so close. I am so close. I'm sorry that your back is perspiring. Because air. You ever been looking for somebody and found them? You ever been a kid lost in a great big amusement park and you found your mother or father? You've been looking for them? You won't let their hand go no more that night, no more that day. You be, I'm right here. They all on a loudspeaker. Lost child. Freckles on the face. Polka dot shirt. Striped pants. So y'all don't want to claim them. Then why are you dressing like that? Because they all be getting lost. You can forget about it. Any crowd. Where's Waldo? No, okay, all right. So number one, when you're in a hard place, remind yourself of who your God is. Number two, remember how God has already blessed your life. And number three, he repeated what God would do to his enemies. Sometimes repetition will do it. I don't know about you. Sometimes that's the way I had to learn. I had to repeat stuff over and over again. And then I got it. Flashcards and all that. Repetition. Today we get to repeat some stuff. Look at verse 9. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. How did David know that? Because God told him. He said, I'm going to repeat what you told me you're going to do to my enemies. Verse 10, they shall fall by the sword, thus shall be a portion for the foxes. Look at verse 11. I love verse 11. But the king, you got me in a hard place right now. You try to dethrone me. You put me on the run. But when I remember what God said he would do to my enemies, but the king, I'm not rejoicing right now, but the king shall. God, David's looking towards something. Shall is future. I'm looking to get up out of this place. That's what you got to tell yourself. I'm in a hard place, but I'm looking to get up out of this hard place. I know I don't look like much today, but I'm looking to get up out of this thing. One thing you need to know, you don't have to look pretty when you're going through. You don't have to look pretty when you're in a hard place. Look like you're in a hard place. Dressing it up, don't change it. But praising God does. Giving God the glory does. Praise your way out of that stuff. And press your way. Don't let folk get off of you. Girl, man, if that was me, I would have stayed home. Well, I'm glad I ain't you. So as a matter of fact, I'm tired of this hard play. I'm tired. This might be my Sunday. That's why God, sometimes he won't let you know which Sunday he's going to drop. So he don't let you know what Sunday he's going to drop your blessing until he know your heart. If your heart is 50-50, he ain't going to let you know nothing. So you have a heart that knitted to God. You say, look, go there this Sunday. I got a message for you. I got a word for you. I'm a blessed. And then he said, after I bless you, give my name praise, honor, and glory. And don't stop showing up. Because I got some more. That was simply to get you out of the hard place. But I got some stuff lined up for you that I couldn't give to you in the hard place. Because the hard place had you preoccupied. I got some stuff for you. Well, God, how come you didn't give it to me in the hard place? Because you were in the wilderness. You were home. You weren't where I was sending you.
But when you get there where I'm sending you, oh my God, I don't mind you getting excited about me delivering you from the hard place, but that's not all. I got some more. I got some more stuff for you. You got to believe God in a hard place. I know they shut the door in your face. I know they said no. I know you lost your job. Somebody needs to grab hold to what God's saying. Don't let my style of preaching mess you up. The word is the word. If you don't like what I'm saying, read Psalm 63 for yourself, verse 11. But the king shall rejoice in God. Has nothing to do with folks wanting me to do bad and trying to, and praying for me to get messed up. God said, I got all that. They are your enemy. Don't spend all your time talking about this one jealous of me and this one envious of me and this one want what I got. Let them want. Let them jealous. Let them be envious. You go on and get yours. God never said rejoice in nonsense. We spend too much time in nonsense, which makes no sense. But God's ready to bless. He's ready to move. Somebody get ready to get out of a hard place right now. But you got to believe God while you're there. Well, Pastor, how do you know God's on his way? I saw the shadow of his wings. Yea, so I walk through the valley of the shadow. You can call upon God. You can pray to God. And God will let you know in your spirit, it's about time to pack up your wilderness suitcase. I'm about ready to deliver you. In other words, learn how to encourage yourself. Stop waiting for everybody else to pray for you. Stop waiting for everybody else to give you what you need. Call on the name of the Lord for yourself. Mommy, can I have this? Daddy, can I have this? Grandma, can I have this? God said, I'm your grandmother. I'm your grandfather. What I give you, you don't have to pay back. Because my son paid it all. But you got to believe God. Why are you in the hard place? Stop complaining and start praying. Stop crying and start praising. Stop moving away from God and move to God. If you can't get to your church, get to somebody's church that's lifting up the name of Jesus. But believe God while you're in the hard place. Jesus had some hard places. Matthew 26, Jesus had a hard place in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, Father, Father, I looked in the cup. There's some stuff in this cup. It's a hard place. I got to die for the sins of the world, past, present and future. It's a hard place. So, Father, I love you. I love you, Daddy. But I tell you, it's a hard place. Father, if there's any other way, God, don't mind you asking when you're in a hard place. God, if there's any other way I can get through this thing, because, God, I can't stand it no more. You got to talk to God like he's Abba Father. God, I'm in pain. God, I can't. God, I can't take another day of this, God. I can't. And God said, no, I got you. I got you. I can understand your frustration, understand your pain. But in order for you to get what I got for you, you're going to have to drink that cup. Please, God. Jesus finally said, nevertheless, God is waiting for some of us today to say, nevertheless, not my will. But God, you don't understand. My spouse ain't right. My bills ain't right. My heart ain't right. My family ain't right. My stuff ain't right. God said, yeah, I want you, if you give me a nevertheless, I'm going to empower you to go through your Good Friday so you can get to your Resurrection Sunday. There's no Easter Sunday without a Good Friday. So if you're in a hard place today, don't worry about it. God's got you. The king shall rejoice. But the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. What a lie. You ain't nothing. God ain't going to bless you. God ain't promised you that. Get out of my face. I can't stand those are lies. Because God said you're the apple of my eye. I know all about you and I still sent my son to redeem you. And I'm working in you. And I'm working on you. I never said that the journey would be easy. But I did say all things are possible through me. So God is saying to somebody today, believe me while you're in the hard place. And while you're there, praise me. Rejoice. Remind yourself and remember and repeat what I said I'll do to your enemy. Because in about a minute, you're going to see my shadow. And when you see my shadow, I'm about to land right in your life. And when I land in your life, I'm not leaving without you. Oh, I wish I had. God said, when I come in, I'm not leaving without you. You pass the wilderness test. I put you there because I know what I put in you. And now you understand that you can take more than you ever thought you could take with me. Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Psalm 27 lets us understand that even though they come up against me, they stumble and they fail. Believe God. God is talking to you. I see you. I have not forsaken you. I know it seemed like it's never going to work out. I know how you feel. I know. God said, I'm not denying that. But what I want you to realize is, though, even though that's what you feel, now I need you to deal with what you ought to know. I will never leave you nor forsake you. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. I am the I am God. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. God said, I want you to know I love you. Hallelujah. Jesus came to die for you and got up for you that you might have life and have it more abundantly. I'm about ready to send you your abundance. I'm ready to send you your abundance. I'm ready to bless your abundance. Everything the cankerworm stole. Everything the pommel worm stole. Talk to Job about it. Job said, I was messed up. Took my children. Took all I had. But then God reminded me, I gave you everything you had. But when I got myself together, when I began to pray for those that were talking about me, it's funny how you can deal with your enemies when you feel God in you. They don't know they're ready to become your footstool. But after Job did what God would have him do, somebody said he got double for all his trouble. I'm so glad that trouble don't last always. The storm is passing over. Hallelujah. The storm is passing over. Hallelujah. The storm is passing over. Give me some eagle wings so I can rise above my circumstances. The storm is passing over. Let us all stand.
Let us all stand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.